This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
John Greco joins us now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. John, who are you voting for? No, I'm kidding. John, good morning to you, friend.
Good morning, guys.
All right, who do you think is on their way out? Who has played their last down for the Cleveland Browns?
Well, I would say Jet Wills, but I think he's going to be, you know, playing snaps here and there because of injuries. But as far as, like, meaningful starting games, I would have to say Jet. I think the phone lines will be open, obviously, today before the trade deadline. Maybe a team tries to bring him in and think that they can, you know, they've seen enough of the positive things that he's done, and maybe they, you know, put him at a right tackle, which is what he played at Alabama. So maybe the phone lines will be open for that. I know Za'Darius Smith is the obvious trade piece right now. So I just don't know, guys. I feel like I played all those years, and every trade deadline there was always one or two buzz names that you're like, oh God, is this the last time I'm gonna see my teammate? You know, we went through the Joe Thomas, trade rumors, and you know, it sounded like it was closer to happening than we all thought. But I don't know. I just think it's all a lot of commotion and noise, and nothing ever really gets done. So I don't know. I think I would think at this point I'd be surprised if anybody left, but I think Za'Darius Smith would be the likely candidate if it were to happen.
Well, with Jed Wills, like, do you think that they've given up on him, or do you think that maybe they would try him at right tackle, the Browns themselves?
You know, that's a good question. I mean, I don't know the message it sends right now, because, you know, they're trying to develop Duane Jones at left, and they're trying to see, hey, is that going to be a part of our future there at left tackle? Can he be a guy that can go over there and protect, you know, the 2025 Browns quarterback, from the left side? Jack Conklin, the guy's got a $20 million total cap hit next year. He's battled injuries. Obviously, he's back now, thankfully, and starting to get back into a groove. I don't know. I don't know if they've necessarily given up. I mean, I've heard Kevin Stefanski talk like that, but, you know, the moves that they've made and everything that's gone down, it's obvious that he's not part of the future plans, at least where they see, well, hey, we have to resign this guy, and it's an obvious play. They can't exhaust all options, because as we've seen, depth in the NFL, and especially with the Browns at the offensive line, you can't take it for granted. So if Jed now, would settle for another deal that would put him as a swing guy, or potentially competing for the right tackle spot, you know, maybe. But at this point, if Duane Jones continues to progress and develop and look like he can be a starting left tackle and stay healthy, I think Jed's definitely done playing left tackle for the Cleveland Browns.
We've had conversations in the lead up to the deadline, especially after this loss. You had hope after, obviously, the Baltimore win, but that evaporated quickly. On who's untouchable? Who do you think, John, is untouchable? Or in the scenario of crazy GMs, maybe there isn't such a thing in today's NFL?
Yeah, I think JOK is probably off limits. You know, obviously he's injured right now, but he's such a young talent that can be the leader on your defense after Myles Garrett. Hopefully Myles Garrett has a lot of years left in the tank, but I think JOK could be somebody that could be making plays for your team if he's healthy for a long time. So I would say JOK. I mean, Denzel, with the injury situation and the injury history, I would think he's off limits just because he's such a fan favorite. He's so meaningful to that Browns secondary, and when he's healthy, he's proven year in and year out that he's among the best. But he's got the injury stuff, so the concussion issues. So I think that puts him off limits. And Miles, I know that they're saying there's absolutely no way they're trading him. I don't think they would. I think, to your point, Anthony, it would have to be some crazy blockbuster deal where a team is like, we think, Detroit, I guess, a team is like, this piece, Miles gives us the nudge over the edge to win the Super Bowl now and next year. I mean, here's our window. It's not going to be open forever. We're not built like the Chiefs or the Patriots of the 90s and 2000s where we're going to be competing for championships every single year. They have a finite window, and are we willing to, like the Rams did a couple years ago, are we willing to kind of deal away some future capital to win now? Maybe the fans would be okay with that and trade that for anything. If a GM and a coach falls in love with that scenario, then yeah, I could see something crazy like that happening. But those three guys, I think, are kind of off the books.
John Greco, John Greco joining us, former Browns guard, current analyst. You were traded in the summertime, not during the trade deadline, if I'm not mistaken. What was that? What was that like for you?
It was pretty funny, to be honest with you. It was kind of the goofy year of the original CBA expiring, and we were negotiating. There was kind of a funky deal where free agents couldn't participate in team activities for like a week. I can't remember all the nuances behind it, but I was kind of chilling during training camp, and the practice was over, and we like worked out on the sidelines, but we were going back to the hotel to eat dinner, and I got a call, and my agent was like, "Hey, you've been traded." And I was like, oh, my God, I'm thinking 31 other teams. Where am I headed? That was my first thought. And I was like, to who? And he's like, Cleveland. And that, I was just, like, so excited at that point because, my future with the Rams, it wasn't going to mean a starting role. And I met with the GM, and everybody was like, hey, this is going to give you a great opportunity to play. And Pat Shurmur was hired at that point. So I was really excited. But that's how it went down. It was just kind of like, my agent called. He's like, "Hey, you've been traded," and it was just like, "Where to?" And I was lucky because I was from Ohio. I love the Browns. I was looking forward to coming back. Peyton Hillis just was on the cover of Madden. He had the crazy rushing, yardage in the season. Joe Thomas, Alex Mack. There was a lot of Eric Steinbach. There was a lot of great offensive linemen in Cleveland at that time. So I was really looking forward to it. So yeah, I've been every year. There's always guys that come up, and there's conversations. This guy's on the trading block, but I got to be honest, guys, in the locker room, it's business as usual and everybody's showing up and yeah, you're like, oh God, this, my buddy and my teammate, a guy that I've been with for one, two, sometimes more seasons, he might be gone. And what's that going to look like? But at the end of the day, it's a business and that's how those guys approach it in the locker room.
John Greco with us. I always wondered.
I do want to say this, by the way, we can discuss this with John right now. John just talked about it. Diana Russini has just tweeted that the Lions are acquiring Za'Darius Smith from the Browns along with a 2026 seventh round pick in exchange for a 2025 fifth. That's for next year, a fifth, and a 2026 sixth-round pick, per her sources there from The Athletic. Zach Jackson going to join us at 8:40.
Yeah, that's interesting. I was hoping for a fourth, but I guess they get, what, a fifth and a sixth in those successive years. So breaking news there. All right, John, so that's one player getting traded. How does it impact the guys that are also on the team? Obviously, we know it's an expensive roster, and we know that in those situations, a lot of the older guys, during what could be a potential fire sale, they start to get moved. How does that go behind the scenes with specific members of the team? Because there's still a lot of games left to play, and there's still a lot of evaluations that need to be done.
Yeah, absolutely. And right now, I would imagine that Miles, the defensive line, the players on defense are texting or calling Z Smith and saying, hey, brother, you know, good luck. Appreciate everything. It was a blast playing with you. Love you, man. But, you know, that guy's going to be going to the playoffs and competing for an NFC championship and potentially a Super Bowl. So his personal situation just got a little bit better. So everybody's just saying, good luck, man. You know, happy for you. That's the message. Then the message is, okay, it's obvious what we're doing. We're dealing away a guy that was a dog, that was an impact player on our defense. Is it over today? You know, are there going to be more moves? So that's kind of the mixed emotions. But I'm going to go back to just kind of my comments just before the news broke. It's business as usual. I would assume that the defensive coaches will comment on it at practice tomorrow, maybe shoot out a text, but it'll just be like, hey, you know, this is a business, this NFL thing. It's about winning games and money at the end of the day. And players that we love and our teammates that they're now no longer in this building, we wish them the best, but the guys in this building, in this room, are who we have to roll out there on Sunday to try to win games.
It makes it a little bit more difficult, too, because, I mean, Lyman talks about the evaluation. Who else am I supposed to evaluate? I mean, do I evaluate Isaiah McGuire? Maybe. Alex Wright, he's hurt for the year. Can't really evaluate him at that position. So, you know, I wish I could learn something about some of these younger guys playing that position. I really don't get that satisfaction now to move forward with some of these players for 2025.
Yeah, I'm with you, Ken. It kind of sucks that it's in this situation and you're trying to look at it through that lens where it's like, okay, let's see who we have for this 2025 season that we can feel confident to bring back, that when we try to turn this thing around next year, are they part of that solution? And I've said this many times on your show. Do you want to be, are you part of the problem or are you part of the solution? That was my mindset. I was involved in a lot of these situations, let's be honest, and it sucks, but you got to come ready to work. You got to say, the guys that are making the ultimate decisions, I want to be in that conversation where they're circling you on that dry erase board and saying, this guy could be here and win. We believe in him. We want to, you know, go into next year and years to come with him on our roster because he's a leader. He's good at his position, and a chance to win. So that's the conversation right now. These young guys are going to get more opportunity to step in. That's where they make a name for themselves. I mean, look at what Cedric Tillman's done these past few weeks. I mean, he went from a guy that we were like, my God, you know, third rounder, what's going on? You know, when are we going to see him kind of fruit and develop? And we've seen that. And he's all of a sudden surprised and shocked everybody, and he's a player. And that gives us hope, because now going into 2025, it's like, no, Sid Tillman, this guy can play. This guy can, you know, catch touchdowns for us and score points. So guys like that have to start, you know, showing up on film, showing up on Sunday, showing up on Thursday for us in Cleveland, because once the coaches see that, then they can check them off the list and say, these guys can be Cleveland Browns next year when we try to turn things around.
John Greco joining us here. What have you, you know, off the top of your head, you know, Andrew Berry is taking a lot of heat. And I mean, they're 2-7. So how am I supposed to say not rightfully so, right? What have you thought of his drafts here over the last 4 or 5 years now?
Ken, you know, I know Andrew. He's such a great guy. He's such a bright, bright football mind. They just haven't been great for one reason or another. And there are a couple good ones. I mean, obviously, we just talked about Tillman. JOK, who looks like he's going to be a terrific player for a long, long time. But there's been some misses. I mean, there's no question about it. And then, you know, then it comes back to, okay, is he picking the best people and they're just not getting developed? The coaching staff isn't bringing the best out of these guys, or are they just missing in the draft and just not picking, you know, great talent? So I'll tell you this, I haven't been totally wowed, but where he's made up for that is some of the moves he's made with contract tweaks and some of the free agent moves that have kind of saved him and allowed the team at least to believe in him. But yeah, I think that there was a few misses that just has everybody's kind of head scratching. So we'll see what happens. I don't know if what they're going to do at the end of the year. I really, at this point, I couldn't even guess. People ask me about that all the time. I think Kevin Stefanski's safe. Will they make a move? Will someone maybe be the scapegoat? It remains to be seen. But, you know, Andrew, I think at this point they need some of his guys that he's chosen to start making splash plays and showing up on the film for the rest of the season for the brass to really, you know, consider keeping him around.
John, we thank you very much for the time. We'll talk to you again next week. All the best to you and yours. We thank you very much for the perspective.
Guys, thank you.
Do you have some more on the Za'Darius Smith trade to the Detroit Lions? Browns got a fifth this year and a sixth in 2026.
Yeah, Jeremy Fowler of ESPN said the sense coming out of Monday was the Lions were waiting out the Browns, who by keeping Smith through week 9 could see if another team developed a major need of pass rush. Browns originally wanted a fourth, but now get a fifth and sixth for Smith and a seventh. So that's what I said when the trade happened. We had Greco on. I was like, oh, I was hoping for a fourth. Obviously, we could not get that.
Well, people in hell want ice water.
The picks are mounting up, though, for this draft. And it is...
And who's going to make those? I mean, Za'Darius Smith is 32 yeah. years old. It's not like you're going to trade him and then sign him to a big contract and then everything's going to be fine. I mean, he was signed to a one-year deal, a potential out going into 2025. So, I mean, he's set to technically be a free agent. Going into this offseason, what were they going to give you?
Yeah, obviously the Browns were hoping, and eventually that's what they got. There wasn't necessarily a bidding war for him, which would have driven the price up. So the Browns in the 2025 draft, which is going to be a biggie, obviously, for them, considering their state of affairs and cap situation, they're going to need young, cheap players. They have their own picks in the first round, second round, third round, fourth round, and the sixth. So you have your standard selections. They have the Buffalo pick from the Amari Cooper trade in round 3, Detroit's pick in round 5, the one they just procured today, Chicago's pick in round 6, Minnesota's pick in round 6.
So we have how many of them? We have a lot. BK on Twitter.
Nine picks.
Well, we've had 9 picks before, and it ended up being a bad draft. Brian Kennedy, 72, on Twitter. Said, Twitter Actions brought to you by Scheibman Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Says, they'll draft a dude that might be able to run down and cover kicks for a guy that was a solid starter in the NFL. I hate this team. All right, that's where we're at.
Well, what? So you're not supposed to?
I don't know.
What, are fans hoping we make zero trades? Like, I don't understand.
I think that he's just frustrated by the season and that you're 2-7 and that you trade.
Teams that go 2-7 trade older guys.
Well, I know that, but you're not going to get equal value. So I'm not trying to make sense of what this person is tweeting, Anthony. I'm saying that they're obviously clearly frustrated. I don't think it was a valid argument to make. I think they're just very frustrated with their football team that, hey, you went and signed Za'Darius Smith. Why'd you sign Za'Darius Smith? Well, you wanted to go to the playoffs a bunch of times, which you made the playoffs one time. You went out and got Za'Darius Smith because you wanted to make a run, and now we're 2-7, and we are liquidating the asset. And I'm sure he's the first of a few that are probably going to go today. I mean, Greg Newsome, what do you got left on Greg Newsome's deal? Now, you could always let that come to an end, let him sign somewhere else and take a compensatory pick. I want to ask Zach about how those compensatory picks work coming up at 8:40, which that is going to be a very...
Want to teach your kids financial literacy, but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids.
Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Gray area with how people are looking at it. But I also think that David Njoku is a name to look out for. Elijah Moore is a name. I don't think that David Njoku is a name to look out for. It's just been said by Mike Florio, so I'll go ahead and I'll take it, right? Elijah Moore is obviously someone we would pay attention to. That was a trade that hasn't really worked out overall for us, and maybe that he goes and he helps somebody else out, and we can see if he can get his career jump started. But yeah, here we are. So yeah, there's going to be some names that are disappointing. I'm much more interested in what Za'Darius Smith tweeted when he wrote SMH. If you're saying you shake my head for, didn't you say you'd be intrigued to go to Detroit? Didn't he say that?
Yeah, I think that's a perfect landing spot for him, and he's a chance to win the Super Bowl. He started the season on one team that thought they had a chance to contend for the Super Bowl. Now he's legitimately on a team that thinks they've got a Super Bowl winning shot. I mean, what player wouldn't want to do that?
So as you,
it's not like he's getting uprooted across the country, and it's a mess of sorts. It's right down the road, driving distance.
So as you had stated, I mean, going into this, I mean, 2/3, 1/4, 1/5, 3/6. It's okay. How do you, do you trust the guy making the picks?
No. Right now, obviously.
So then we have to have a serious discussion on his future.
I think we have. I think we've been having that serious discussion the last 3 weeks. I think that most of Cleveland is now talking about whether or not Andrew Berry is good enough. And there's still mixed reviews, and there's hope. There's always going to be hope. Guys like Cedric Tillman are kind of coming alive. Martin Emerson's taking a step back, unfortunately, this year. Look, the longer this goes where Berry's the GM, I mean, it's all his guys.
It's been five guys.
Whether he drafted, yeah. A lot of GMs don't get that much time. So, you know, unfortunately, the proof has been in the pudding overall, you know, of the whole team. JOK, that was a great pick. You still have some holdovers from previous regimes on this team that are starting to age out. I think another thing, as an aside, I think part of the issue with the Berry drafts is that we're doing the rent a pass rusher every year still that's a starter. It's nice to rent the pass rushers as depth. We are still renting starters for a year or two. We had to do it with Jadeveon Clowney. Not finding that complement over the last 5 years to Myles Garrett, they found guys that have been productive, but it's not the way you typically want to do it. You want to draft one of those guys so that they can grow over the long term. You know, Pittsburgh has had that, obviously, with T.J. Watt and Cam Hayward, and you just haven't had that. You've had to go and get a guy every year and then figure out the scheme. And while they have had production, it'd be nice to draft somebody who could have been that. And, you know, it's been over the course of Myles Garrett's entire career here, that they really haven't had that guy.
Well, I mean, yeah, even after that draft, and I mean, you can think about some of the guys that they've picked up in free agency. It's been a long time. I mean, even John messed that up with, remember, Chad Thomas back in 2018, who's, I think he'd rather be Quincy Jones than a football player. Is he even in the league for a while? 67th overall pick. I don't think he's been in the league for a while. Yeah, he's been out of the league for 5 years. Yeah, everybody else, it's kind of like, well, you know, Jacob Phillips was a guy who couldn't stay healthy. And then everybody else, I mean, these are mid to late round picks, not classic defensive ends. I mean, Juwan Briggs is more built like a defensive tackle. And that was a seventh round choice just this last year. But even then, like, they've never been, and you look at their history as a football team. I mean, this might be the best collection. It's hard for me to say that. One of the better collections of talent that they've ever had. Historically, their talent from 1946 on has been predominantly offense.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, you have Clay Matthews, a couple other guys defensively, you know, the Frank Minifield and Hanford and a couple of guys. But other than that, it's Michael Dean Perry, but it's been mostly offense who have been your prolific playmakers. And now that you have Myles Garrett over the last eight seasons. But again, I think it brings into question exactly what you're trying to do, because I think that what the Browns are trying to do now is you're trying to do the balance of, and I didn't get a chance to ask John about this because, you know, we had the trade with Za'Darius Smith happen, and there's a couple things I had to put on the back burner for John that I think I want to bring into over the next couple of weeks. But with these guys that you have, do you want to completely retool, completely tear down to the studs, or do we want to have a conversation like, hey, you know, there was a lot of people had a lot of questions about the quarterback class this year. Washington still took one. Washington's still great. A lot of people had questions about C.J. Stroud. You and I didn't, but a lot of people did. Houston took him. Houston's doing great. Do we have to tear it all the way down and then build it up, or can we take some of the guys that we have now who are still expensive football players who will still count against the cap in a lot of ways, even if you were to move on from, like Daryl had said yesterday, can you still go out and get that guy and then maybe heat this thing up before a lot of people think you do? Even when you have the specter of Deshaun Watson coming back in some form or fashion, probably not on the field, but in some way. These are questions we have to ask Zach coming up next. Let's go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We welcome in Zach Jackson, a ray of sunshine on this Tuesday morning that's filled with doom and gloom as the Cleveland Browns start their rebuild. Zach Jackson joins us right now from The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter, at Akron Jackson. Zach, Za'Darius Smith gone. What do you think he meant by SMH on social media today, other than shaking my head? What do you think was behind that?
I have no idea. I think you could guess that he was disappointed it didn't work here, right? He was brought here to play on a good team, and he did last year. He re-signed a two-year deal when he had other offers. You know, because he has a family, has kids, now has to move. I don't know. We didn't really know him very well, but I thought he played well, and I thought especially this year he was consistent. So it always made sense that he was a piece for the Lions, because the Browns have to realize where they are and where this thing is headed. So, you know, there's not a specific direction on that, and there's a lot of decisions they're going to have to be made to sort through the layers of this. But, you know, the reality is have been hitting everyone in the face really since that Las Vegas loss. This thing is completely sunk. And now, you know, we go to this two-month crawl to the end to see who's still standing.
So how much further down would you take? No, I don't want an opinion. I want some reporting yet first, and then I'll get to your opinion. I'm sorry there, Zach. I should have said that to myself before all this started. How many more moves do you think that they will make here? There's been plenty of names that we've bandied about.
I would consider Dalvin Tomlinson a significant move. I would be surprised if there's any other significant move. Maybe at the very bottom of the roster, you could swap Deontay Foreman or Elijah Moore. But I just don't think they're ready to move on from other guys. I think in the case of some of the guys that they pushed their money up front last year, Njoku and the guards, for example, you would really have to get in and renegotiate. And that can happen. I mean, this isn't new that they're suddenly sellers, right? But I just think all these decisions are going to have to wait, and you're going to have to count up exactly how much dead money and figure out, you know, not only where you want to go, but who's making the plans, because this is not a well-built team. And a lot of good teams have had a year setback or had something wrong that they've had to address. And frankly, you know, this team was one of them in 2022 when they had to look at how poorly they built the defensive line. But with the sunk money and all that's out there and the age of the roster, even as you trade a 32-year-old today for third-day picks, this is not good. And the way it's been built thus far, you know, makes you believe that it's going to potentially be new guys doing it, because I just don't think the current guys have a case for staying in their jobs.
Zach Jackson with us. You've been doing this a long time, and you've actually been in the building on the other end of this, too. So you've been privy to stories under fantastical general managers and decision makers. And so have you ever heard of a GM maybe saying, all right, I'm not going to trade this guy. I'm not going to trade this guy. They're part of our core. And then just being blown away by an offer from a desperate team. Like, could that happen?
I think that does happen, Anthony. A specific example, no. But, why did the Lions and Browns wait until 8 o'clock this morning to finalize it? Because you owe it to yourself to shop, to see if you can up the offer, to see what's out there. So, I don't know. I remember when I worked in the building and I came upstairs and around the corner and Quincy Morton gave me a big hug on his way out when they traded him for Antonio Brian on deadline day. That was probably 20 years ago.
Oh, boy. So every now and then, you take us down these memory lanes that are just, yeah. They're sad and funny.
It is. Now there's a lot more trading. And as I'm sure you guys have talked about it, the Browns were at the forefront of moving this deadline back, thinking that they would be buyers. And, the proposal won. Not theirs, but a similar proposal. They moved it back 1 week, and now they're sellers. But I just don't think realistically that anybody being a huge seller, and specifically the Browns right now, there's one piece that's just way different than the others, and that's Myles Garrett. The rest, I don't know. We'll see. There could be some more trades today and some more opportunities that provide opportunity. I think last year there were 7 or 8 deals made on deadline day, and I think 5 of them came within an hour. Mm. So you'd have to be in the rooms to know if it was really, kind of a domino effect, but it feels like it was.
Zach Jackson with us on the hotline. Were you surprised to hear David Njoku's name come up with that Pro Football Focus, Mike Florio report?
No, because, and listen, that's the one guy they should trade because when you watch him run, last year's over. So
hold on there. What have you seen this year from David Njoku?
What have you guys seen? I mean, he's been injured and he hasn't been the same explosive player. So it's just facts. I mean, he got injured in camp. He got injured in week 1. He hasn't been the same explosive player. So but that easily falls in the category of I'm not sure that you're getting the right price to do it right now and then sorting through, because last year they took his money and put it forward.
I am shocked by this. Go ahead. Say whatever you wanted to say that was on your mind. I am shocked by that statement that Zach just said.
Well, he's seemingly, from what we've been told, he's a big culture guy in the locker room. Like, he's gotten past the trade demand. He's a Cleveland Brown, and he has been pretty embedded in the community. Mm-hmm. And so that's always something on an emotional level
that's when
we
you spring
talk
it on
about.
Him. Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to get into that. I will just say, people want names and people want this to work. But who's really going to be here in 6 months, in a year, in a year and a half? Who really is? I mean, they probably can't trade Nick Chubb, and I don't think they would trade Nick Chubb. But is Nick Chubb going to be here? Is Nick Chubb going to be a part of a successful Cleveland Browns team ever again?
If you were Jimmy, would they have to pass all these things?
7 times they doubled down on David Njoku led to anything, it'd be different. But it hasn't. They had one good season. They had one good month last December. Let's be honest.
I'm standing down now. I thought you were going to...
I mean, that's just facts, right?
Yeah, those are strong statements, and you're right. You are right about that. That's true.
I mean, I don't know. I haven't been listening. I listen on Thursdays to the Deshaun Watson Commission that comes on, but I haven't really been listening, so I don't know the tone.
Zach Jackson with us right now on the hotline. So considering that there is so much football left to be played, one thing I was concerned about was how the heck they're going to evaluate certain position groups on this team. They're getting, Jameis right back to the bottom in terms of quarterback play in the league. That's what you saw this week. Your offensive line is something we've had a lot of uncomfortable conversations with, really for the first time in like a decade. It seems like the offensive line is an issue. So how do you go about playing the string but also making these games meaningful?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. I mean, you probably have to sign a D-end off someone's practice squad now. Because Zadarius is gone. And Alex Wright was a big loss. I mean, he makes the game-winning play, game-clinching play in Jacksonville. He had been coming on the last 2 years. That's a good player who was coming to be contract eligible. There's really not a lot else there. I mean, logically, you play DTR and find out what you have. But realistically, you know what you have in DTR, right? He's got a chance to be a backup. He's way too small and way too turnover prone to be anything. And they had done a good job. They had invested in both lines. But the offensive line this year, specifically the tackle thing, it just really sunk them from the start. And Jed Wills is due $11.8 in dead money next year, but doesn't have a contract. And now doesn't have a starting job. So, I mean, that just goes to the whole thing of right now this is not a well-built team or a well-coached team. But the decisions that are going to be made with this roster and, like, the delusion that's out there that it's a quick fix based on this dead money and these guys who are no longer ascending or don't have contracts at all or don't have contracts but have dead money, like, this is in bad shape, guys.
Go ahead, Tone.
How surprised are you that Stefanski can go from all that amazingness that was the last month and a half of the season last year, getting the credit he got around the league, the respect, the coach of the year stuff, to how we feel about him right now and how his job seems to be in jeopardy?
Yeah, I'm pretty surprised because I think he's a really good coach. And I still think that. He's obviously not having a good year. And the offense has had no flow, no consistency, no anything. It doesn't all go on one person. But when you trade the farm for a quarterback and the quarterback plays like one of the three worst quarterbacks in the league and one of the worst quarterbacks in the history of the Browns, then you're going to be there. You know, the O-line has not really given him much chance. They drafted Zach Zinter. They benched Zach Zinter. You know, they benched DeJuan Jones. They put him back in. I mean, DeJuan is playing for himself and to help this team. And now Cedric Tillman looking like an NFL player the last three games can help. Those are positives. And you have to take them all. Because this has been the worst running back group in the league. It was constructed to be that. The tackle position was a complete mess. And they got older in free agency. And guys are hurt. I mean, what's going on this year? Well, the long snapper's hurt, right? Kadarius Toney's on the practice squad. Nobody else wants him. He's been hurt on the practice squad. Bid against yourself for Jerry Jeudy. What do you get? Jerry Jeudy. Like, it just goes on and on. And they have all of these 30-plus defensive linemen who either don't have a contract or, like Jefferson, doesn't even get a helmet on Sundays.
Well, why doesn't he get a helmet on Sundays, by the way?
Because he's not one of the best four players, you know? So, I don't know. They have to play a Mike Hall, who that pick was, you know, embarrassed you, and now you got to try to make the best of it. And, you know, he looks like he can play, right? So, he's got to be out there playing. And like I said, I don't know what they're going to do at defensive end now. You know, somebody else's practice squad guy sounds right. I don't know what else would be out there in free agency. But, yeah, I mean, look, they took my call for a lot of reasons, and one of them was they weren't going to trade down and add extra picks because they said, well, only a certain amount of rookies can even make this team. Well, they drafted nobody who's helped, and it looks like Hall's going to help in the future. But I don't know that any other guys they drafted are going to help. And certainly there was room on this team for help. Quite obviously. And you have older guys who are injured and have bad contracts, and that's just not where you want to be. And if you had a quarterback, that'd be one thing. But you don't. They don't have a quarterback this year, next year, or for the foreseeable future. But you have one on your roster, you owe $170 million in cap dollars to. Fully guaranteed. So, you know, like I said, you could fire the GM just based off this year. The running back room, the tackle mess, free agency, and the draft. And that's before you get to the quarterback, which when they told you, when they made this move, they told you it's the most important position by far. And it is. It's not the only one, but it's the most important one. And they don't have an answer there.
Well, Zach, thank you very much for the time. And you've certainly given us something to think about.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Zach Jackson from The Athletic.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.